Good morning. How is everyone? Awesome. I said, how is everybody? I'm just kidding. There we go. I'm so glad y'all are here today. Thank y'all for coming to hang out with us. I know you could do a million things, but instead you chose to be with us, and that's awesome. Even got a surprise this morning, which was really cool. It was really cool. And just thankful that I get to be here and that we get to be here each and every week. And I'm excited about this series. I'm not going to lie to you. It has been an awesome series where we've been diving into what would Jesus undo. And today, I don't know about you, but how many of us have had like someone who was leading us in life and said they were bringing us to something better, but let us down? Like, am I the only one that's ever happened to in my life? Like, I see one, two, I see some nods. I know if you're online, you might be seeing it too. But so many times in our life, we can absolutely have that. We can have someone who is leading us and it just not be what we thought it would be, right? So we're going to talk about that a little bit today as we continue this series and this study on some of the I am statements of Jesus. In the Gospel of John, we're going to be diving into that. And today, the reason that we're talking about leadership, we're talking about stewardship, it's the buzzword of the century, I believe, is this word leader that we love to throw around a lot. But today, we're going to talk about, instead of a leader, we're going to talk about the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd. So Jesus's I am statement, I am the Good Shepherd. And we're going to talk about what that means for all of us. So today, I just want to prepare your heart. It's going to get a little warm, so I'm going to go ahead and get ready. Cue the Jeopardy music online, if we got that. All right, we got one sleeve. We'll work on the other one in a minute. So what I have for us, if you got your Bible, go ahead and get to John 10 with me. John 10. John 10 is where we're going to be today. John 10. And if you don't know where that is, it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It's the fourth book of the New Testament. Maybe you've got it on your phone, or maybe you have a Bible in your hand. It is something that's really cool. I want to give you the freedom. Write in your Bible today. Don't be afraid of that. There aren't people who are going to meet you in the parking lot and tell you how bad you are because I think you're writing in your Bible today. Don't worry about that. We got your back. You can do that today. You can do that today. We want to give you freedom to be able to do that today. So as you're getting to John 10, I just want to set some things up because we're going to roll through this today. And it's going to be fun. It's probably going to be challenging, but I just want everybody, every one of us to have the right heart as we come in here, because I believe Jesus has a word for all of us today. The thing is whether we're willing to just listen and do what he says. And that's all I want us to do, is listen to what Jesus is calling us to and do exactly what he says. So John 10 is where we're going to be today. And we're going to be talking about this thing called sheep. So how many folks growing up have seen the sermons online or this message, I'm the Good Shepherd, and you expect to hear about sheep? Maybe you grew up in church, maybe you didn't, maybe you've just clicked through the cat videos on YouTube and something about a sheep popped up and you saw a message that said something about sheep, right? And so what you expect to hear in this message today that we're not going to do is you expect me to talk about how dumb sheep are. Like growing up, that's all I heard pastors say to me, and there's nothing wrong with that. It made the point to me, and it made me see how much I needed Jesus. But today, I'm not going to stand up here and say, we're all sheep and we're dumb, okay? So I want you to leave encouraged and leave here better than how you came in. I'm not going to stand up here and talk about how dumb sheep are, okay? So today, we're really not going to talk about that with the shepherd. Because here's the thing. Here's the thing when it comes to this leadership thing and it comes to following Jesus and what that really looks like is today, I want you to know, and what I want myself to know as Jesus prepared me for this is this. Focus on being a sheep, not being the shepherd. Focus on being the sheep, not the shepherd. So many times in our life, we want to be the shepherd. We want to be the one calling the shots. We want to be the one who leads the charge. We want to be the one to take all the credit. We want to be the one that says, I did it. It was me. It was all me. Like, how fun is that? Like, we want that. We want to be the shepherd. So I'm not going to talk to you about how dumb sheep are, because you know what? Your pastor, he don't have it all together. He's messed up just like the rest of us. So if you came in here expecting perfection, I'm going to let you down. You can see I roll it up my sleeves at the beginning of a message, right? Like, I'm going to let you down. I'm not perfect. But what Jesus has been teaching me through this 21-day fast even more is, hey, focus on being a sheep, Tyler, and everything else will fall into place. If you just be the sheep that God's called you to be. Okay? So as we're getting ready for that, go ahead and get to John 10. Last little nugget that'll get you some laughs today, I bet. Little nugget. Sheep are mentioned 200 times in the Bible. That's a lot. Dogs are mentioned like 40. You know what's not mentioned in there? Cats. Lions, maybe, but cats. I'm just saying. I'm allergic. I have no right to be. Cats. So, if you're a cat lover, you like cats, there's nothing wrong with you. I have no problem with cats. I'm just saying they're not in the Bible much. I don't know what that means. I don't know. Take that as you will, as you will. Whatever that is. Maybe they're big cats. They're lions. Maybe you can go with it that way. But cats. Cats are not mentioned in the Bible. So today we're going to talk about this thing that's talked about 200 times. So let's dive into John 10 and let's continue to talk about what Jesus would undo from the idea of being a sheep. Okay? John 10. Starting at chapter 1, I'm reading from the NIV. If you don't have your Bible, look at our production. That creative team's amazing. They got it up there on the screen for us. John 10, verse 1 says, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate," oh, one of my favorite ones, "but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber." We're all thieves and robbers. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that either. I just want to set you up. I'm not going to say that today either. But I love what Jesus is here talking about being the gate. We're going to dive into that a little bit more. "The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he is brought out from all his own, he goes ahead of them. His sheep follow him because they know his voice, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. We're going to keep going here in a second, but I love the beginning of this, how Jesus lays it out right away. He lays out who he is. And he's saying that the religious people, the people that show up at church all the time that say they got it all together, they didn't understand what he was saying. Your boy ain't got it all together, I'm just saying. So don't expect to have it all together. But Jesus is talking about who he is. And right here is where the pastor starts usually diving in about how dumb sheep are. But you see, I see some smart sheep because they don't follow a stranger. They follow the shepherd's voice. That's not stupid. They know what the shepherd sounds like. So he goes on to talk about that. And I love that Jesus just lays that groundwork out to say, hey, they don't follow the stranger, but they follow the shepherd. And so the Pharisees, the one who know God better than anyone, the ones who just have it all together, got all the lists checked off, ties perfect, suits perfect, shoes shined just right, not to give too much light. They've tithes. They've given their spices. They don't have cats. They have 200 sheep since it's mentioned 200 times in the Bible. They've got dogs. They've got perfect things. Their little Instagram stories are perfect online. Their Facebook pictures are just the best. Like, it's everything's right. They don't tell you about the 30 pictures it took to get there, right? You know, those are the people that didn't understand what Jesus was saying. So therefore, Jesus said once again, since remember, the sheep are stupid, right? No, they're smart. Jesus is diving in here to say, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers." Thank God it was before Jesus, y'all, and we live after he's already died and rose again. So we're not the thieves and robbers. Praise God and amen. If you're not happy about that, go get you some Red Bull, hand sanitizer, whatever you got to do to get hype, because you need to get hype, because that's awesome. Jesus isn't calling us thieves and robbers. He loves us. That's awesome. "But the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture." How cool is that? And if you got your Bible, underline this, highlight it, do whatever you've got to do. Note this, because it's a verse that used a lot when we talk about the shepherd, when we talk about Jesus, when we talk about what Jesus is and who Jesus is. And it's John 10:10, and it says this: "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." So Jesus is laying the groundwork here. He says there's some different types of people, right? So when I look at what Jesus is saying he would undo, the first thing he would undo is deception. throughout this time when Jesus came up, he says, hey, all who came before me were thieves and robbers. They climbed over the wall to lead the sheep. They tried to give them hope. They were the late night television commercial that said, if you have this in your car, you're never going to run out of gas. If you've got this in your cabinet, you've got to have it. Like, they were the televised person. Like, they were on at the end of the night, like when it's 3 a.m. in the morning, you can't sleep because you got shoulder pain. You know, you're just trying to figure out, and you start ordering stuff. Like, you get 14 Snuggies, and you get pet rollers, and you don't have pets. Like, you need it, right? Like, you need it. That's what happened before Jesus came. All these Pharisees, all these people who came along were deceiving the people of God and told them everything they needed to do to get to God, but none of them knew really who they were, how broken they were, how much they were sheep in need of a shepherd. They just told them, hey, to get to the shepherd, check off these 10 boxes. And then they'd check off these 10 boxes and they'd come back, be so excited. I'm going to get to see God. I'm going to get in a relationship with God. I'm going to be so close to him. They said, no. Since you've done those 10, we've added like five-ish more. So go do those five things and then you can come back and we'll get you closer to God, right? We'll get you closer to God. They go do those five. They're excited. They start tithing. They give a tenth of their spices. They dress the right way. They talk the right way. They go outside of the Bon Secours Wellness Arena and go against anybody who listens to like a Nickelback concert or something. I said that. I'm that old. They went outside and they have megaphones protesting and they're talking about how great they are and how good they are. And then they come back and those people did those five things and they're like, hey, well, since you've done those five things, we've added 100 more checks that you have to check off to be close to God. And so Jesus is coming to say, hey, no. I am the gate. I am the one who has come so that they may have life. Everyone who's come before me is a thief and a robber. Everyone who's come before me is a thief and a robber. So I told you to underline John 10:10 because I want you to write this statement down. It's not something that's going to be on the screen, but it's just been something Jesus has been teaching me through this fast. And it's something, I'm not going to lie to you, that I haven't done well my whole life sometimes, okay? It's something I've struggled with. If you know anything about me, I have drive. Like, I will do it in the midst of anyone else not doing it. Like, I'm a grit person. I love working hard. Like, I will go to the core working hard. But one thing Jesus has taught me through John 10:10 and through this fast as I was getting ready for this message, and if you're taking notes, write this down because it's not going to be on the screen, but it's this. No one owes me anything. Jesus has given me everything. I'm going to say that one more time and let that sink in. No one in this world owes you anything. No one. It's hard to admit sometimes, right? Because you do good for them. Should owe you something, right? You ever live with somebody who always says you owe something? I know some of us have. Like, you've lived with folks that say, you owe me. You owe me this. You owe me that. Guess what? The world doesn't owe you anything but death. To kill, steal, and destroy. That's all the world owes you. Jesus has given you everything. He's given you everything. And so many times in my life when I struggle, when I'm like, hey, I don't know how I'm going to make the bills meet. I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know how that's going to happen. I just remember that through this fast, Jesus has been giving me that sentence. Hey, nobody owes you anything. Jesus has given you everything. So I go to Jesus and say, hey, I know you own the cattle of 1,000 hills. I know you want goodness for me. I know you've already figured this out. And in my craziness and in my stubbornness, I'm just not listening to you. I don't know how that works. But you've got something lined up. Just let me be open and obedient to do it. And understand nobody in this world owes me anything. Nobody does. So I don't know if maybe you've been living your life that those who lead you owe you something. They don't. They don't. Those who follow you owe you something. They don't. No one in this world owes you anything. Jesus has given you everything. So if you're searching for him in anything else, in a person, in me, I'm going to let you down. I'm a man. I'm going to let you down. But if you just look to Jesus, he won't let you down. He promises. He said, I have come so they may have life and have it to the full. And what he's telling all these people is the first thing I'm going to undo is the deception that you can do it on your own. And that because you can do it on your own, you think everybody owes you something because you've mastered and achieved this thing. Like it was all you. Nobody owes you anything. And a lot of people will be glad to tell you that in this world. I can tell you that right now. Won't they? They'll let you know whether that you owe them something or that they don't owe you something. I don't know. Am I the only one that has ever experienced that? As I look at the great divide here, I'm the only one. I know I'm not. I know I'm not. I know that I'm not. And if you haven't, guess what? The people who are going to tell you that the most, maybe the people who have been in church their whole life. And for that, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't want the church to be that. I don't want the church to deceive you and say, you've got to do all these things. I want the church to be about pointing others to Jesus. I want the church to be about people encountering Jesus like never before. And that's what Jesus is saying right here to these Pharisees. The first thing I would undo is deception. And the reason we do that is because Jesus being the good shepherd, the deception was they pointed them in the wrong direction. So as the good shepherd, the shepherd leading the sheep always points the sheep in the right direction. What I love what Jesus says here is if you look, when he talks about being the gate, he talks about the sheep coming in and going out, and they will always find pasture. They will always find pasture. That's in verse 9. It talks about the sheep. So it means like whether you go into the gate, green pasture. As long as you're in the presence of God. When I step out of this sheep pen into this uncomfortable thing to where I don't know if this is where Jesus wants me to be, but I hear him calling my name, so I have to follow him over here, and the grass looks dead. It don't look like it's going to provide. I don't know how I'm going to pay the bills doing this. I don't know how this is going to work. But Jesus says, hey, they will find pasture if they come through me. So he comes to say, I will give you direction. The first thing that I would undo is deception. And as I was writing this and I talked about, no one owes you anything in this world and Jesus has given you everything, it made me think about this. Like, how many of us have ever been, like, broke? Like, zeros in the bank account. You know what it's like to be, like, you know, the McDonald's $2 menu would be an upgrade for you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, a McPick 2 would just make the world be right for you, right? I see some folks smiling. I hope you're smiling online. I'm fasting, so you know why. That's McPick 2. So, you've just been broke. But you see, I could be stuck in broke. Because see, broke is a condition, but it's not my outcome. Just because I'm broke doesn't mean I'm poor. So hear what I'm trying to say. Poor is a state of mind. Broke is a condition. I am broke. My condition is broke. I need a savior in my life. I need a shepherd in my life to help my broken condition. But after my condition has been changed and I understand that Jesus has given me everything, it's so crazy that I want to stay in a poor mind. My mindset wants to stay in this mindset of poor. So broke versus poor is this. You give a broke person lottery money, I guarantee you they'll figure out how to steward it. You give a poor person lottery money, it's a state of mind, it'll be gone next month. They'll be looking for the next lottery. They'll blow it on lottery tickets, right? It's a state of mind. And so here's what I want to tell you today. So many times when Jesus is saying this deception of where we are, I don't want our condition to dictate our outcome, nor do I think our mind dictates our outcome. It's actually who our Savior is. So maybe you're broke today. I want you to know, just because you're broke don't mean you're poor. So stop living like it. Stop acting like you're poor. Nobody owes you anything. Jesus has given you everything. Stop, woe is me. Stop saying the world's out to get you, because you know what? It is. Everybody knows that. Jesus says the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. If your state of mind stays in that, guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to be killed, stolen from, and destroyed. That's exactly where you're going to be. So understand that a Savior has come for you to have more. Life to the full. And maybe it's not a full bank account. Maybe it's reaching people for Jesus. Maybe it's being able to give to others like you've never given before. Maybe it's paying for somebody's car to get fixed. Maybe it's loading up a U-Haul on Saturdays. Praise God and amen. Maybe it's loading up a gym. Maybe it's loading out a gym. Maybe it's keeping babies and making sure that they know who Jesus is long before they've ever stepped inside of a worship service on a Sunday. Right? Maybe that's what God's made you for, and that's the life to the full he's called you to. So maybe your condition is broke today, but don't let your spirit be poor. Just because you're broke don't mean that you can't be full. You understand? You feel me? So today, I want you to know that Jesus came so that the deception of poorness is gone. His direction is for you to be full. So make sure that you take hold of that. The last thing is I continue to beat this point to death because I love it and I could talk about it all day. I'm sorry. Jesus has just been working on me in that. I can see as I'm getting older things in my life that I would love to change, but also things in my life that Jesus has taught me. Like that sentence, I'm telling you, when I was getting ready for this and that sentence, like it's something, you know, I don't have a tattoo, but if I had a tattoo, it'd probably be like, you know, on my face. I'm just kidding. It wouldn't be that bad. Like, I don't have a tattoo, but it's something that I would love to remind myself daily. Nobody owes me anything. Jesus has given me everything. What if we lived our life like that? Imagine the difference in the world we could make. Imagine it. Hey, you don't owe me a paycheck. Jesus has already given it to me. Hey, you don't owe me anything. Jesus has already given it to me. Hey, you know what? I'll take care of that for you. Jesus gave it to me. I'll take care of it. It's not that big of a deal. We got it. It's going to work out. Imagine the difference you can make. And imagine how the fullness of life you can live. See, what happened in this time frame is the Pharisees are standing there. And they've got like 200 laws they're following. Like, imagine that. Before you came to church on a Sunday, you get up bright and early. Because none of us run behind on Sundays at all. We're always on time, right? None of us. I'm late even in the morning sometimes. I ain't going to lie to you. And I get up early. Imagine having a checklist of 200 things. Like, maybe that's not enough. My shoulder's a little bit. Maybe we'd have the stage out. 200 things to check off before you walked in the door. How many of us would be here? I'd watch online. I'd just follow it in. I'd watch it later. Like, I wouldn't even spend my time doing it. But how many of us have lived that being a Christian and being in the church, that we expect everyone that's around us to check those 200 things off before we even say hello? And I'm sorry the church has done that. But I want to tell you, Jesus has come so that we don't have to do that. So we have to stop deceiving people. We don't have it together. Jesus is telling the Pharisees right here, hey, your robes are great. You sit in the best places in the house of God. You sit at the best seats at the table. Everybody knows your name. Like, they see your billboard when they're going to and from work. Like, they got it all together. They know you. They know you. And they see your good works because you make sure to advertise it on your billboard too. I have given X dollars this year, right? Like, I have given $3 billion away. Like, they see all that, right? Like, you know, they see every bit of it. And he's saying, hey, that's not what it's all about. It's not what it's all about. Just be a sheep. Follow the shepherd. I just need you to follow me. That's it. Everything else will work out. Just follow me. Is it going to be perfect? No. Brokenness is a condition. And broke, I wish, could say on this roller coaster ride that is life, is just something you experience once. But I tell you once, after you've been broke, you figure out how you don't want to be broke again. Pretty simple, right? And that will mean you ain't going to be broke again, because you're probably going to be broke again, but you can deal with it better if you've been broke and you know how to walk through it, right? That's the difference that we get to make. So let's continue this story as we go on. And I would talk about Jesus being the gate, but we're going to get there in a minute because I love it. I love how he says he's the gate. So verse 11 through 13 goes like this. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. I got a funny story here. We're going to get excited about this. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. The second thing that Jesus would undo is abandonment. Abandonment. So I'm going to tell you some references here, and you can go back and read it kind of in your own time, and it can get a little crazy. But Jesus is talking about how all of a sudden this hired hand who doesn't own the sheep runs away when the wolf comes. So it made me think about this. How many of us have ever rented a car? Some of us, maybe. Now, let me ask you this. Do you drive the speed limit in that car that you rented? Or do you feel like it's Daytona and you just go all NASCAR on that thing? Because you paid $7 for the insurance, so they know if something happens. Like, the difference between me renting something versus owning something is a lot different. Like, if I own my car, I want to try to take care of it. Like, I want to try to make it last as long as it can. Praise Jesus and amen. Like, we want it to last in everything we do, right? Like, renting something versus owning something is a lot different. Like, if you rent a house, you'll beat the turd out of it. If you own it, you want to find a way to, like, to take care of it and make sure it looks good and that it has lasting value and it's important to you, right? Well, that's what Jesus is talking about here. He's saying, look, all that came before me, they treated every one of you like rental property. See, I'm the one who owns you. My Father created you. So many times in our life where the Pharisees are here, it's where they're stuck. Because they think they own everybody, right? And they just rented them. And they're trying to point them the right way. It has nothing to do with that. They've got to point them to Jesus. That was the whole point of this thing. They were trying to point everything they did in the laws. And in doing that, they abandoned people. You see, the reference that I told you could check out in your own time is this. When I talk about this rent versus own scenario is this. If you look back in Ezekiel 34, we're going to be talking about it. If you haven't come to our Thursday night greenhouse gathering, it'll be fun. We dive in. We go into Scripture a little bit deeper. But Ezekiel 34 is exactly what Jesus is referencing here, okay? Ezekiel 34 says this about the shepherd, okay? I'm just going to give you some quotes. The shepherd in Israel at the time in Ezekiel 34 steals tithes. The weak were not strengthened. The sick were not healed. The broken were not bound. And the lost were not sought. And so Jesus is answering this in John 10 to say who he is. Hey, I'm not going to abandon you. Hey, I'm going to give you life. I have come that the sick may be healed. I have come that the broken would be bound. I have come so that everyone would have life and have it to the full. Have we ever dealt with that person? They'll steal from you and then they'll tell you how bad you are. And then they kind of feel how good they are, right? Like they just beat you down. They treat you like rental property. Hey, that's the hard thing to deal with in life. It is. And I want to tell you, no man or woman will ever satisfy you the way that Jesus can. Now, Jesus in them will bring you both together, and crazy awesome things can happen in your life. Crazy awesome. I know my 13 wives and I, we've been trying to, I'm just kidding. Y'all know better. Y'all know better. Don't y'all Google it because you ain't going to find me. It's all right. You might find my LinkedIn page or something. But you'll see I don't have 13 wives. Praise God and amen. Don't have that. But seriously, no person could ever fulfill in you what Jesus could. And so many times when I look back at my life and those leaders who have kind of led me astray and told me about some good things, but were not the great things that God had to me, I put my hope in them for the great things God had for me instead of in Jesus for the great things that God had for me. And it's so easy to do. It's so easy to do. And when that happens and we're abandoned, we're so hurt, aren't we? Like, we're hurt. We're like, what did this person do to me? Like, why did I deserve this? And then we look. And when I look back at my life, I just remember that sentence. Nobody owes me anything. Jesus has given me everything. Everything. So know in your life, maybe you're experiencing abandonment. I want you to know that Jesus is promising you, you won't be abandoned. Because the second thing the shepherd always does is he corrects the sheep. So he's getting rid of deception by giving you direction. He's getting rid of abandonment by giving you correction. So I got a question for you here, which is really cool. How many of us remember, like, there's always this picture of Jesus with a sheep around his neck, right? Remember that? Oh, like grandma probably had it usually. Like, it's usually that, right? Like, and it was always on Psalm 23. And it was Jesus with his sheep around his neck. And, like, you're just like, that's so sweet. He's talking, that's Luke, where he leaves the 99 to go after the one. Like, it's such a beautiful picture. Let me tell you the real story behind that picture, okay? When I talk to you about the sheep being corrected, you know what that sheep had happen to them? See, that sheep went astray. It went out of the presence of God. And to get that sheep back, to correct it, to get it back on course, the shepherd had to go break its legs. Now what you think about that picture? Whoa! The shepherd would break its legs and would hold it around its neck until it was nurtured back to health and it would know the shepherd's voice. And when that sheep was fully healed, it knew the shepherd so well it never left his side. So many times we see that picture of Jesus and we forget that he has to correct us sometimes. And it'll mean our legs are swept out from underneath us. And we can be in a broken state so that we are closer to him than ever before. But I promise you, just because you've been broke once, don't mean you may not be broke again, but you're going to know how to deal with it this time. Just like that sheep was like, bad Jesus. I'm just kidding. It wasn't that bad. Like, just imagine that poor sheep. Like, its legs are broken. And you think about that picture. And like I said, when you think about that, and you know that that sheep had to be corrected. See, the Bible reminds us God corrects those. He disciplines. He corrects those he loves. It's not to hurt you. It's actually to draw you into pasture. Remember, whether they go out or come in, they will find pasture. So that broke leg sheep, so you got a cool story to tell at Easter when you're at grandma's or whatever, or you're at family. You can remind. Let me tell you a story about this picture. Is this why you always beat me as a child because I was a bad kid? Like, were you trying to be Jesus? Is that what it was? And they'll tell you, yes, they probably did. That's probably what it was. But it's crazy because I look at that picture differently now. Like, I'm just like, man, like when I'm broken, he still carries me. When I'm broken, he still loves me enough to nurture me back to health and let me walk by his side. And it's much easier to walk by his side after I've been broken because my legs are broken. Seriously, I can't walk, right? Like, I mean, like, it's easier, right? But, like, think about that as the shepherd, how much that hurts the shepherd. When his rod is out there and he just nunchucks that poor sheep and his legs, it breaks its legs. And now it's dependent on the shepherd. See, sometimes we just have to remember to be the sheep. There are going to be times when our legs get broke. It's okay. It's okay because the shepherd holds you. The shepherd's got you. The hard part is when we the sheep see our legs broken, we see all our other friends bad, like rolling around, having a good time in the pasture, jumping over fences, helping people sleep. Like we think they've got it together, right? Like we get upset and we get jealous. But see, Jesus is just breaking our legs to remind us that he'll never abandon us. And the misconception in Christianity is this, and I will proudly stand up here and tell you, I don't have it right all the time. There are some times, and all of us can be there, where we as a Christian will get to a point and we will literally struggle with who God is. We'll say, if you love me, Jesus, why am I walking through this, right? Awesome. 12 people agree. No, I'm just kidding. Like, really, really. We will say, we don't know who God is. Like, we will struggle and we'll feel like our lives are out of control and we'll look at everyone else around us and we'll put our hope in everyone else around us and be like, oh, the herd's going that way. Maybe that's where the pasture is. Let me go walk over here. Oh, no, it's not. And then all of a sudden, whoop, legs broke. Like, I'm just, like, all of a sudden, the shepherd comes and gets us and he reminds us who we are. So what I want to tell you so many times is if you're struggling with leading or you're struggling with shepherding, I want you to get it out of your head. Stop trying to be the shepherd. Just be the sheep. And when you're the sheep, the shepherd's not going to abandon you. When you're the sheep, the shepherd's not going to deceive you. He's always going to lead you to green pastures. He's always going to lead you beside still waters. He's always going to put you in the place that's best for you, even if you don't like it. That's the hard part. That's where Jesus and I have some long talks. Even when it's not where you think you need to be, you just have to trust the shepherd. Let's finish up the story here. John 10, verses 14 through 17 says this. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. I know my sheep, and they know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep who are not of this sheep pen. I bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock, one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. Only to take it up again. When I look at this and I think about where Jesus is and everything that he's saying, he's literally giving the gospel right here. He's given the gospel. And what he's reminding us as the good shepherd for us is that he is going to undo destruction in our life. The last thing he would undo is destruction in our life because he wants to give us protection in our life. So what would Jesus undo? Destruction so that the good shepherd will protect us. See, he says, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. See, at the time, Israel believed that they were the only chosen of God. They believed that they were the only one who would be saved. They believed that there was no one else that could be saved, Jew and Gentile. And it says when the Messiah comes, Jew and Gentile would be able to be saved. Jesus is literally talking about going into the world and bringing people to him that aren't Jewish. So imagine sitting there, a Pharisee, you've checked off your 200 items, and you make it look like you've got all of them, your button's just right, you know, your shoes are perfect, you got everything ready to go, you might even have a nice cool hat on, like, I don't know, like, it is what it is, like, we'll see in a few weeks the 200 checklist, right, like, everybody's got it, right, we'll see in a few weeks at Easter, because the 200 checklist folks will show up, and that's okay. no better place to be than on church on Sunday. But I just want to tell you, don't worry about checking off your 200 list. You can wear your pretty hat. Ain't nobody going to judge you, but you don't have to if you don't want to. But I think about these Pharisees, and they've got all this, and Jesus is standing there and saying, hey, everybody who's gone before me are thieves and robbers. Everybody who's gone before me have been deceiving you. They have been out here. They've climbed over the wall. They aren't the gate. They aren't the way to the Father. And guess what? You're not the way to the Father. I'm the way to the Father. And when I stand here to tell you, I'm not just here for you. I'm here for the whole world. Imagine that. Imagine how crushing that would be. Like, I don't know about you, but that would just be like, I made all A's. Like, I got all the answers to the test right. Like, and he's like, no, it's not about passing the test. It's about trusting who I am. See, I'm the gate. No one comes to the Father except through me. See, here's the thing. This whole time, people have been telling you they're the gate, and they climbed over the wall. And then the wolf came. You see, so many times in the Christian faith, when we talk about protection, and I told you, somebody's lied to you and told you everything's going to be okay. It's not that everything's going to be okay. You're just going to have peace through all your trials. You're going to have peace through your circumstances. It's not like all of a sudden I meet Jesus and I won the lottery. Hey, like, it's not that. It just doesn't work that way. You're just never going to be alone. You're going to be able to walk through life with hope of eternal life, with joy and peace. When the cancer comes, peace. When the broke comes, when your bank account's zero, peace. When your car wrecks, peace. When you have trial, peace. When the person unexpectedly pass away, you're going to have peace. You're going to have peace, or the rest of the world is going to search. And so what Jesus is telling us here is he's going to give us protection. See, so many times we think that Jesus should always bail us out of every situation. And sometimes he's got to help us walk through it so that we know how to help somebody else who's about to step into it. That's not who Jesus is. He is a savior of the world. He's given you everything, but that doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect, rainbows, sunshine, butterflies, unicorns, and whatever else you want to have on the Skittles commercial, whatever it is they have. Like, it doesn't mean that it's going to be all that. It just means you have peace. It means you have peace, peace that surpasses all understanding. You know, when I was thinking about protection, and we're going to talk about this enemy here in a minute. When I was thinking about protection and how Jesus protects you, Jesus is a great shepherd. I'm already cracking up. That's not good. Jesus is the good shepherd, and he said he would undo destruction in our life because he would protect us. How many remember earthquake and tornado drills in school? Remember those? Do you remember what you carried with you, just out of curiosity? Just carried that. Because that's going to help me from a crumbling building that is falling on my face, right? Like, you remember that? And you would tuck your knee, your head between your knees. I'm not that flexible, y'all. That ain't happening today. You would tuck your head between your knees, and you would put a book on your head for a tornado drill and for an earthquake. So it made me think two things. First of all, why am I carrying this 50-pound book? Is it just for the earthquake? No wonder I have back issues. Like, is it just for the earthquake and tornado drills? Like, we don't go through every page. It's movie day every other week. Let's be real. McGee and me lived on it in school. It is what it is. That was just the program we had. Seriously. So, like, how many of us remember that? Like, that was our protection. And what Jesus is saying is, hey, this little book is not going to be your protection. Like, I'm your protection. And so many times we go through life and think that Jesus is just this book to protect us. He's this genie. He's this magic thing in prayer that we rub and we ask him for things. And we think, hey, I did the right thing, Jesus. I asked you if I could win the lotto. Now this is my 100th prayer. Now let's go. Let's go. I asked you if I could do this. He's this genie in a bottle. And we treat him like this little book that'll protect us from an earthquake. And how many of us can say, really, did that book do anything? No. See, Jesus is saying he's the ultimate protection. He's saying all those that came before you and deceived you and lied to you about who they are, I'm telling you who I am. I am the Son. I will lay my life down for you. I will live the life that you can't live, die the death that you deserve, and I will come back and rise again on the third day so that you may have life and have it to the full. You don't just accept me now, and then when you die, get to experience heaven. You get to experience heaven in the here and now, which means you can have peace and joy. When those that pass away unexpectedly, you know you're going to see them again. When the bank account's empty, you know that he promises to provide everything that you need. When you know the car is wrecked, there's going to be a way for you to get a car. When you took the rental car and you decided to be Richard Petty out on I-85 and decided to ram a wall, somebody's going to help you. Like, there's something in your life that can go there. But so many times in the Christian life, we think that it should all line up right after we receive Jesus. It's just not how it is. And I'm sorry. And I'm going to be honest with you. There are times that I question who God is in my life. There are times when I don't have it together. But he reminds me. He's already given me everything. I just have to trust him as my shepherd. Stop being the shepherd. Stop telling him what I need in my life and start trusting him to give me what I need in my life. Just be a sheep. So before the sheep get the bad rap of being dumb today, I want to ask you, what kind of sheep are you? Don't start singing the song, Bye Bye Black Sheep, Have You Any Wool. I know that's in your head because it's in mine. Like, what kind of sheep are you? Are you trying to be a shepherd? Are you trying to be a shepherd? Because Jesus just needs you to be a sheep. He's saying the thief is coming. He said all the way through, the thief is coming. How many of us, if we knew a thief was coming to our house, would get ready? How many of us, right? Like if he said the thief is coming, I'm telling you the thief is coming. The thief is coming. The thief is coming to kill, steal, and destroy. The thief is coming. Like you'd probably get some extra security on your windows. You would all of a sudden support your Second Amendment rights. Like you would find way. Like I think I would be like Home Alone. Like I would have everything set up, my little miniature toys and like my little blowtorch and my pellet gun and like the slippery stairs down. Like I'd probably have all of it set up, right? Like if I knew the thief was coming, my outlook on life would be different. Jesus is promising you the thief is coming. You know, when I live knowing that the thief is coming, I can't stay mad at people all the time because the thief is coming. I don't care. The thief is coming. I know the king is already here. We'll get there in a minute. But the thief is coming. When you cut me off, I might be mad, but I have to get over it because I know the thief is coming. And you will steal my joy. You will kill my joy. You will destroy any hope and any peace I could have in the day because you cut me off in your car and I will let you. The thief is coming. And when the thief comes, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus is saying on this earth, the only thing it will give you is death. It'll kill you, give you death, and steal from you. Oh, joy. Like, right? But I have come so that you can have life. And what I want to tell you is even though the thief is coming, the king is here. The king is here. And when I live like the king is here, I'm no longer in a poor spirit. I'm no longer thinking that my mindset is everybody's against me and everything's going to break down. Sometimes I will tell you, it will feel like that. And it's a hard thing to break. It's a hard thing to break in me, especially if you've been brought up in a mindset that says I'm poor. If your whole life you've been told you're poor, it's hard to live like you ain't poor. Am I right? Like your whole life. And guess what the world's going to tell you? Hey, you're poor. You don't have enough. You ain't got it. Hey, you don't look a certain way. You don't dress a certain way. You don't sing a certain way. Hey, you know what? You don't quite fit the profile of what we think you should be. So, yeah, you're not going to get the job. Like, you're not going to get it, right? Like, your LinkedIn, you misspelled a word. Sorry. Resume's gone. You're not going to get this, right? Like, the world will tell us that. And I will tell you that's what the thief will always try to do is rob you of the plans of goodness that God has for your life. And so today, the best way to live God's plans, the best way to experience God's goodness is just be a sheep and take one step at a time. So, I'm not going to lie to you. I know it can get crazy. So as we wrap up this message, it's going to hit you one of three ways. It's going to hit you one of three ways when I talk about being the good shepherd, honestly. The first way that this may hit you is no way, not me. You see, you're telling me Jesus came so that I can experience life and experience it. If he knew what I did last night, he wouldn't love me. If he knew what I did on the way to church this morning, he would not love me. Like, all the things I've done, there's no way that there's a God that loves me because he hasn't shown up yet. Why in the world would he show up in my life now? There's no way he would love me for my sin. There's no way that he would forgive me for what I've done because you know what? He's a good father, and I'm nothing but a sinner. And I've got to clean everything up in my life before I can come to him. It's not all peaches and rainbows. I'm trying to check off the list. And when I get myself right, I'm going to come to him. And that's when I'll come to him. But right now, he doesn't love me. Like, there's no way that he loves me. And I want to tell you this. Jesus died for your sins, past, present, and future. There's nothing you can do to out-sin his grace. He loves you just the way you are. He doesn't judge the sheep by the color of the sheep, by the way the sheep bat, by the language they speak, by what they do. He loves the sheep and says, I'm the good shepherd, and all the sheep can come to me, but they have to come through the gate. And I want to tell you today, so many times in our life, if you feel that way, you have a poor mindset. You're stuck in a mindset of poor. If I told you that today, you could have $1 billion. I'm going to write you a $1 billion check, but it expires at the end of the day. Let me ask you, would you take it? Or would you say, hey, no, I'm not set up for that. I've got to have this trust fund over here, and I've got to have this account over here, and I've got to have this house over here, and I got to make sure this works out before I take the $1 billion. Or would you just receive it and figure it out? That's all the grace of God is, and that's all who Jesus is. You just got to receive him to be who he says he is and take one step at a time to follow him. It's not rocket science. It's not hard. And we try to make it so hard sometimes because we try to make ourselves feel better about ourselves for it, and it's not that hard. So today, if you say, no way, not me, I want you to know he loves you. He loves you. He came so that you can have life. So don't worry about your sins, past, present, and future. He's already paid the price. The second way that it can hit you is maybe you grew up in church and you know all the answers. You could answer every VBS question. You won every sword drill. Like, you were the one voted most likely to preach one day in your superlatives in your annual church. Do they do that anymore? Pictures? I don't even know if they do that anymore. But your church pick the church directory. Let me get it right. Your church directory pictures. Shout out to all those photographers who do that, for real. But you had that. You know, when you had to have the perfect picture, right? You had to have the hair the perfect way, and that was a perfect photo. Maybe you say, well, of course he does. I've gone to church my whole life. I tithe. I serve. I give. I've got it all together. And here's what I want to tell you. That's where the Pharisees were. See, sometimes in our pride, we think that others owe us something. Remember that sentence? Hey, I'm so good. You owe this to me. Hey, I'm so good, God. You owe life to me. Because you know what? I check off all the boxes. I look the part. Talk the part. I walk the part. I am the part. You know what? Jesus, I'm going to teach you something today. That's how we feel when we say that. Our pride comes before the fall, right? So if that's the way you're hitting today, I want to tell you there is hope for you because you don't have to have it all together. Guys, there's freedom in that, not having it together. Sometimes I feel like I do. I got to have it all together, and my pride gets ahead of me, and I think I got to get it going. And then I think, well, of course they're going to pick me because I'm the best there is. And then I look at the other person, I'm like, oh, maybe they better, right? Like, I don't have it all together, right? Like, I don't have it all together. Obviously, I don't have it all together. So, like, I don't have it all together. But then I'm reminded I don't have to. Jesus has already got it all together for me. I just got to trust him. And nobody owes me anything because Jesus has given me everything. So today, if it hits you, well, of course Jesus owes this to me. Well, of course he's the good shepherd. I want you to lay that down today and lay your pride down today because it's not about that. It's not about that. The last is what we're about to walk into here in a second. Maybe today this hits you. You're reminded of what it was like to be broken and how faithful God is. Maybe you followed Jesus for 2 minutes, for 2 weeks, for 20 years. Maybe you don't know him at all. Maybe you come to church and you see these worship songs and you see these things in worship and you're like, why do they do that? Well, you see, when you follow the Good Shepherd, you're the sheep. You can't help but remember what it was like to be broken and who saved you. When your legs have been broken, you've been reminded how broken you were and how something came to you and brought you out of the mess and death and destruction that you were in to give you life. It's so easy. It's so easy then to have obedience and praise. When Jesus says, hey, come this way, you can trust there's green pastures over there. And when you do that, you'll worship and sing all the way to the pasture. And it's so fun. Like, your life is a life of obedience and praise. And so today, what my heart would be and what I would beg you today is that today be the day that you walk in obedience and have praise for the Lord. As we get ready to sing this song here in a minute, as folks are going to get ready, we're about to have an invitation. We're going to walk through what it's like to nail this down and understand that Jesus is the Savior of your life if you've never done that. But here's the thing. There's one thing I want for you is to be the sheep that walks in obedience and is always praising. Because when you live a life like that, people want to be a part of it. Not because you have the answer, but because you can point them to the shepherd, right? And isn't that fun? Isn't that a fun thing to do? To be able to point everyone to something better? Something that I can't give? Something that the expectation on me is that I can't give it to you? So much freedom in that, guys. And so for us, that's what I want for us today. As we're talking about what would Jesus undo, let's walk in obedience and worship the Good Shepherd. Know that he is going to direct us. He's going to correct us. And he's going to give us protection. Because he wants to end destruction in our life. He wants to end abandonment in our life. And he wants us to live a life that is to the full. So can we do that over this last song? Can we live a life to the full? So as we get ready to close out, so many of you are saying, well, why is it that you're talking about this good shepherd? When I look at my life, like, I'm trying to lead it my own way. And I want to tell you this. God doesn't lead people who lead their own lives. Never has. He leads people who have surrendered their lives to him. And so today, if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, I want to provide this opportunity for you. Because here's what happens. The reason we do this every week, and the reason this is set up, and the reason people with obedience and worship come in early in the morning, practice throughout the week, get things ready, not perfect messages, I'm never perfect, not perfect messages, not perfect songs, but obediently walking in worship to what God's called us to, is because we want everyone to experience life and life to the full. So as we get ready to pray here in a second, I want to talk to you about that. See, Jesus said everyone who came before me was thieves and robbers. Everyone who came before me lied to you about how to get to me. He says, I am the gate. He says that he laid his life down for you. He laid his life down for you, and he laid it down for me. Because we didn't have it all together. You know, the sheep can't save itself from the wolf. When I look at that passage, I see the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But the wolf is coming and the thief is coming. I never once see the sheep, like, banding together and beating the wolf or beating the thief. It's the shepherd. The shepherd who's already overcome. So as you get ready, as we're getting ready for this time of invitation, I'm going to ask that every head be bowed and every eye be closed. And I just want to lay this out there to say, if you never surrendered your life to Jesus and always tried to lead your life on your own, know that you're missing out on the opportunity. Know that the path you own will lead you to death, destruction, and it being stolen from you. But there is something out there. The good shepherd is here, and he wants to give you everlasting life. So if that's you, it's really simple. We're about to say this prayer. It's not the words of these prayer that gets you saved. It's the faith that Jesus is who he says he is. The faith. He says, I am the gate. So if you just trust that Jesus is the gate to the Father, that only through him can you be saved and experience this life and life to the full, then for you, this is your opportunity. You see, all of us are born into sin. You see, it didn't say that there are some people that are sheep and some people aren't. It says we're sheep and the shepherd is here. So all of us are born into sin, and the thing that we deserve for that sin is death. Death. And you see, the good shepherd came, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he's the Son of God. And God is the creator of the universe, and God loved us enough that he sent his Son, the only good gift that he could give, because he's at this place to say, hey, I want a relationship with you. I want a relationship with you. I want to give you life and give it to the full. And so his Son Jesus came down to this earth. He brought heaven to earth. And he said, I'm making a way for you. Hey, those 200 laws, that checklist, hey, I'm going to live that perfect life. And when I check those boxes, it's already done. It's going to be finished. When he stood up on that cross and said, it is finished, those 200 things were done. And he lived this perfect life that we could never live. And he died the death that we deserved for our sin. Not because of anything we've done. Not because we could ever accomplish those 200 things. But because he loves us enough to do that. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, we're going to say this prayer. And I want you to receive by faith the grace of God for forgiveness of your sins so that you can live this life and live it to the full. So everyone repeat after me for the benefit of those who are coming to Jesus for the first time. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, separated from you. I believe you came to earth, lived the life I couldn't live, died the death I deserved on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Jesus. Teach me to follow you step by step. the best way I know how, the rest of my life. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, and maybe you're online and you're praying this prayer, you're listening to it, maybe you're on a podcast, it's the middle of the week, but I'm asking you, the Spirit is moving in you right now. It is time to respond. The Spirit is coming to you. It's knocking on the door. Jesus is there, and He's just asking, will you receive me? Will you trust me to be the gate? So if that was you, and it's the first time that you prayed that prayer with faith, I'm going to count to three if that's you, and I would ask you to raise your hand. One, two, three. If that's you, and it's the first time you prayed that prayer, if you're online, it's the first time you're part of our eFam, it's the first time that you can say with faith that you have received this gift of salvation that only Jesus, the Good Shepherd, can give. I'm going to beg you, you weren't meant to do this alone. Comment below. We want to celebrate with you. We want to walk step by step in this journey with you. We want to celebrate with you because right now, this obedience and worship, this time of worship we're about to have, we're celebrating you taking that step. So if that's you, I'm going to ask you to reach out to us. Comment below. You can email us at hello@thevine.tv or text us at 864-580-6698. Whatever it takes, don't do this alone, because the Good Shepherd always promised that there would be one flock and one shepherd. You are not alone. And for everyone else, I'm going to pray for us as we get ready to go in this time of worship. And I'm going to ask you today, whatever Jesus has called you to do it. Sing this song out of obedience and worship and thankfulness for who He is, for what He's rescued us from the death that we deserve, from the destruction that we deserve. He has not abandoned us, but we are with Him forever. We don't have to walk through this life alone. We no longer have to be in a poor spirit. We no longer have to be broken. And that will invoke praise in us. And if it doesn't, I'm going to ask you to get hyped. Ask Jesus to put a fire in your heart to remind you of who He is. And remember that He will never deceive you, because He is the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus, as we get ready here to worship You and live this life of obedience, we ask in this time that You would remind us of who You are and what You've done. And let us lose our face and lose ourselves in You. Let Your word so richly wash upon us that we are overcome with it so much that we can't help but praise and rejoice that the Good Shepherd is here. The Good Shepherd is here. We love You, Jesus. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.